As I mentioned, this weekend being the blessing of the animals, I spent the early afternoon of yesterday down the street at the Highlands Animal Clinic. This is actually the fourth year in a row we've gone down there. Dr. Allison is our host, and we bless all the different animals that are a part of our community and our neighborhood. I met some wonderful people and some equally wonderful pets. If you weren't able to make it, I posted the blessing that I offered on my Facebook page. You can find those words and offer them to the animals in your life. It does go well with a treat. I do encourage you to offer treats of some kind as a part of the blessing. But as I was getting covered in slobber and dog hair and cat dander, I would offer these words to each pet by name. We give thanks for your life and spirit, and we pray that you would be as blessed as the many blessings you offer to those who know and love you. It was really a special moment to share, and yesterday, more than any of the other 9 years I've done this with pets, the humans really seemed to be enthralled with what was going on. There was something special happening. The majority of the dozens of pets and families I saw commented after the blessing for the first time in years, and they would say things like, "This is really beautiful," or "That is so special," which I appreciate hearing, not for my own validation, but because it reminds me that it truly is a beautiful and special thing to honor the creatures in our lives, especially to have them receive such acknowledgement from someone who doesn't live in the same house. Far too often, outside of the owners themselves, the animals in our lives don't receive much acknowledgement, let alone an honest moment of focusing on their unique created being and honoring it. There's something special about honoring the life of each and every creature. That's why we celebrate the animal blessing, for them and for us to be reminded of the unique role that animals can play in our lives. Now, that focus on animals presented a unique opportunity for the sermon today. Since we are investigating Bible stories that are out of the ordinary and overlooked, the sermon series being called "That's in the Bible?" Today is out of the ordinary and overlooked, and it centers around an animal. I want to set the scene for you. Our scripture comes from the book of Numbers, and in it, there's a prophet named Balaam, and he's the main human in the last chapters of the book of Numbers. And he's a prophet, but he's not exactly the most aspirational prophet. He's really bad at his job. Right before the story I'm about to share with you from our scriptures, Balaam decides that he wants to do something different than God has asked him. He wants to go visit a different town, not because God needs him to, but because he found out that if he goes, he will receive personal benefit. And so that's where he wants to go and do God's work. And God comes to him and says, "No." And Balaam says, "I really want to." And God says, "No." And Balaam says, "You never let me do what I want to do." And God says, "No." And Balaam says, "Please, can't I just this once?" And they go back and forth like this for a while in the Bible. Until God says, "Okay, here's the deal. I don't want you to go. It is not a good idea for you to go. You really shouldn't go, but I will let you choose. You can either do what I, your God, the creator of the universe, has asked you to do, or you can make the really immature, poor decision to do it your way, which I don't think is going to work out very well, and it's going to get you into trouble. But please, why don't you decide?" And so Balaam says, "Cool, I'm going to do it my way, since you gave me the choice and all." And God does the divine equivalent of a face palm. And then our story picks up. So Balaam arose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went out with the officials of Moab. And God was very frustrated because Balaam went. So while Balaam was riding his donkey, accompanied by two servants, the Lord's messenger, an angel, stood in the road as an adversary. The donkey saw the Lord's messenger standing in the road with a sword drawn in his hand, and the donkey turned from the road and went into the field nearby. Balaam struck the donkey in order to get him back onto the road, for Balaam could not see the Lord's messenger. But then the Lord's messenger stood in the narrow path in the vineyard with a stone wall on each side so the donkey could not pass by. When the donkey saw the Lord's messenger, it leaned against the wall and it scraped Balaam's foot. So Balaam began to beat the donkey. The Lord's messenger persisted and crossed over, standing again in a narrow place where it wasn't possible for the donkey to turn right or left. And seeing the Lord's messenger, the donkey just laid down underneath Balaam. And Balaam became angry and beat the donkey again with his rod. And then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you've beaten me these three times?" If I may, for just a moment, offer you a different translation. It is not often I use the King James Version of our Bible, but this is just too good to pass up. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" So that's just fun to read. Ah, a Bible verse truly worthy of the sermon series. That's in the Bible? So upon hearing the donkey speak, Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you've tormented me, if I tell you, if I had a sword in my hand, I'd go after you." And the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on whom you've ridden day after day? Have I ever been in the habit of doing things like this?" Balaam said, "No." And then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and Balaam saw the Lord's messenger standing in the road with his sword drawn. And then he bowed low and he worshipped. And the Lord's messenger said to Balaam, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I've come out here as an adversary because you took the road recklessly against God's desire. The donkey saw me and turned away these three times. If he hadn't, I could have killed you." And Balaam said to the Lord's messenger, "I have sinned because I didn't know that you were standing there in the road. And now, if you think it is wrong, I'll go back." Okay, side note. God says to him over and over and over, "Don't take the trip." But once the angel with the sword shows up, he's like, "Maybe I should do that." The Lord's messenger said to him, "No, go with the men as you planned, but don't say anything. Only say what God gives you to say." And Balaam went on his way. Important question. That's in the Bible? I tell you, this story shares something with Jonah in my mind, right? An unruly prophet has animal-related travel issues. Amidst the craziness of this story, I do find a very important piece of wisdom. God is not opposed to using creative ways to get a message across to us. When God can't convince a stubborn ass to listen, he lets the donkey talk. Now, your week may not contain a donkey ride, but I invite you to look carefully for the places you can find divine wisdom. Now, there's a fine line here. I don't think God makes things happen to teach us things. I don't think God makes the things I'm about to mention happen for a reason. But I do think that God can creatively speak to us through things that happen in our lives. God says, "Well, if that's going to happen, we might as well learn something from it, shall we?" So you forget your cell phone at home. By the time you get back to it, you realize the world did not end, and maybe you didn't have to be that connected the entire time. Or your child states aloud in front of a large group of people something that no grown-up would speak aloud, but everyone really was thinking, and now the group has to deal with the awkward truth in front of them. You have the wrong time on your calendar. Maybe you set it 15 minutes early, so you show up somewhere just early enough that you can't do anything productive with the time except just sit there and exist and step out of your busyness and just be for a moment. You bump into someone you weren't expecting to see, and you're reminded of how much their friendship means to you. Or maybe your pet knows just the right moment to come and snuggle and comfort, or to tell you it's time for a walk and that you need to get out of the house. I think God's grace allows us to experience something meaningful in these moments, because God is not opposed to being creative to get important messages into our lives. And this is where the blessing of the animals converges with World Communion Sunday. Today, churches of all types around the world intentionally align our communion schedules. For when we share in communion, we speak about being the body of Christ connected in the Spirit. And today, all around the world, we symbolically celebrate together. Now, these two events, the blessing of the animals scheduled on St. Francis's feast day and World Communion Sunday, always fall on the same weekend. They're both the first weekend of October. And I've never found a way to tie them together until this donkey spoke. Because God is not opposed to using creative ways to get the message across. And that is what communion is all about. a creative way for us to get the message of absolute love. A crazy creative way for us to find wholeness out of brokenness, of what it means to share together in communion and community as God's people. I mean, if a donkey can speak to us in the scriptures, I sure hope this bread and this juice have something to say to us as well today. Let us share in communion.